It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you, riding it solo this morning. In case you're wondering, we've become a little antisocial here on Giants.com. When John Schmelk is here, I'm not. And when I'm here, John Schmelk isn't. So this is what takes place in the offseason. We try to mix things up. We try to spice things up. But we're glad that you could join us this morning here on Giants.com. With you for the next 60 minutes, talking all that is happening around this organization and the Giants making some more coaching changes. That is the biggest news revolving the team, as the Giants have named a new running backs coach to take the place of Gerald Ingram, who was the running backs coach under Tom Coughlin from 2004 to 2013. So they now bring in a veteran coach in Craig Johnson, who's entering his 32nd year in the coaching, I should say, not necessarily in the NFL. It's his 15th year in the NFL. And Johnson spent the last three seasons as the Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks coach. So he's worked with Christian Ponder, Matt Cassel, and Josh Freeman. He spent numerous seasons prior to that with the Tennessee Titans, in which he was the assistant head coach, running backs coach, and quarterbacks coach. So he worked there with Vince Young, Kerry Collins, Steve McNair, a number of quarterbacks who have had plenty of accomplishments throughout the league. He's also worked, obviously, with Chris Johnson, who is the star running back for the Tennessee Titans. So, great deal of experience. Was also at the collegiate ranks for many different years all over the country. Talking about Rutgers, Maryland, Northwestern. So they're bringing in certainly an experienced guy that is going to work with Ben McAdoo, with the personnel that they will bring in during the course of the offseason to get this offense back on track. So that is the biggest news on the coaching front for the Giants, but we can get into just about anything you want to discuss. I know a lot of you are in the business of speculation at this point. You like to determine who the Giants are going to target in the draft, who the Giants are going to target with respect to free agency, but you have to keep in mind, those things are down the road, and the Giants are going to have plenty of months to determine who they want to target. Right now, the goal is reassess the situation in terms of their current roster. They're going to have to determine who do they want to bring back, and they're going to still have to round out the coaching staff, because clearly the tight ends coach is still open as they parted ways with Mike Pope. So we're going to open up the phone lines at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation through social media, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. And we go to the lines, and we start with a guy that we haven't heard from in quite some time, and that is Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, man. I had made my little comeback net last week. I don't know if you know it. But how you been, man?
I have done. I've been doing quite well, Shakes. How about yourself? It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you too, man. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I was watching that Pro Bowl draft last night, and I liked that format. Like, it made it more interesting.
It did. I actually caught some of it, too. You know, they're looking to obviously make the game a little bit more exciting. It's no longer the AFC-NFC format. So, you know, Dion and Jerry having some fun with that. It did spice things up a tad.
Yeah, it did. And Team Sanders looked like it's going to dominate. The only thing is, Antoine Roll is on Team Rice. I was kind of upset about that.
You wanted him to join the ranks of Deion Sanders, I'm assuming. So he can stick with his defensive guys.
Did you see that team? Did you see that team? Man, they loaded. Oh, I can't wait to watch the game and just see how much they dominate them. So I wanted to hop in on this this one prospect that somebody put attention to on me, and they say he's a 6'3 corner from Nebraska, back east, if I'm saying his name right.
A 6'3 corner from Nebraska. Okay, I'm going to try to look up the name here because that name that you threw out is not necessarily ringing a bell. So let me bring up the Nebraska roster. I mean, clearly the Giants have gone in that direction with respect to Prince Amukamara, so they have some ties to that school. Let's take a look at the Nebraska roster. But what is it that you heard about him that makes him so appealing?
Well, I mean, they said he was probably like the second best corner in the draft, well, coming up in the draft, and 6'3", that kind of got my eye. You know, I mean, 6'3" corner, that's very good. If he can move well, that's kind of scary. So what I did was I watched, I went on YouTube and looked at some highlights just to see how he moves, you know, can he hit? How fast is he, you know? I mean, 6'3", he might not be that much athletic, you know? So I watched it, and, man, I think I like him more than I like Ogletree last year.
Oh, you were riding the Ogletree bandwagon for quite some time last season.
Oh, yes, I was. Yes, I was. And I was very upset that we passed up on him. And so I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, oh. But I don't know. I'm still kind of torn between Clowney, because I still think that Clowney could be a very good pro.
Well, but I don't think Clowney is going to be available when the Giants pick number 12. I would highly doubt that.
You don't think so?
I think somebody's going to take Clowney much earlier than that.
Oh.
What makes you think Clowney's going to drop to 12? No, continue. What do you got, Jakes?
I mean, he didn't have the season that he had last year, so I just think that he's going to, you know, drop a little.
Well, there's been a lot of speculation tied to him in terms of whether or not he was motivated to play, because obviously he was eyeing the NFL. He wanted to stay healthy, so I'm sure a number of teams are going to look into his numbers prior to this past season. There's a lot of hype surrounding him. I'm not saying that he's guaranteed to be a big-time playmaker, but I would be very surprised if he's still there when the Giants choose at number 12. And by the way, the corner you were talking about is Stanley Jean-Baptiste, who is 6'3".
Yes.
And,
yes.
I mean, based on the Giants' needs, I haven't seen enough highlights of him, and I don't have a great deal of knowledge on him to give you a good picture of him. But I would say from height alone, from athleticism alone, the Giants could certainly use a corner who fits that profile, because even though they have some playmakers at corner, they don't have a great deal of size there.
Exactly. And with the Calvin Johnsons of the league, that goes well, because you don't really want to throw Prince on Calvin Johnson. I mean, that's just kind of like a mismatch.
Well, but you have to keep in mind, you're not playing Calvin Johnson every single season. So
no, you're not.
You can't draft with the mindset we're only looking for a good matchup with Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, but you got to understand, we do have Dez Bryant in our division.
Absolutely, and that's a valid point. And he has a tremendous amount of height and athleticism.
Yes, so I watched him play, and I'm very impressed, man, because I watched the first highlights. I didn't see him really tackle that much, okay? So then I look at the second highlight. It was just a little clip, like 40-second clip. You probably find it if you look. It's like a 40-second clip. Man, when I'm talking about he hit the crap out of this guy, I felt sorry for the guy. I mean, it hurt me. It hurt me, Lance.
Well, listen,
and that was kind of
no. Continue.
That was my fault, but that was kind of like my thing when I was watching that first highlights. I was looking at him, and he moves well. His feet move well. He can cover. He's fast, but I didn't see him hit nobody. I seen him wrapping up, but I didn't see him hit nobody. But when I seen that second clip, I said, "Oh gosh, he got to be a giant."
Well, I'm sure they're going to explore all their options, and as we've talked about in great detail, corner to me is one of the needs, because they need some depth there. They've had some injuries that they've suffered at that position. You have to determine, is Tremaine McBride the guy that you want to put alongside Prince Amukamara each and every down, or do you want to bring in another guy? So, you know, clearly they're going to have to explore some options.
Yes. I mean, I like McBride, but, I mean, as a starter, I mean, I like him coming as a nickel or a dime, but a starter, that's just too much, man. That's too much to ask for him.
Well, he did take advantage of his opportunities this season. You have to give him credit.
Oh, yeah, he did well. He did well. He made a name for himself, I can tell you that. So I'm not downing him. He did well. But I don't think he's a starter. And I was telling John yesterday, because I called yesterday, and that was my main position because, you know, I think that we deserve and we need to bring back John Beeson. And just assuming that we do, our main priority should be those corners because every year our corners get hit with injury bugs. Every year.
Well, you could also make the point that even if they bring back John Beeson, I would say that linebacker is still somewhat of a need because...
Oh, yeah, and I told him that.
Linebacker spot.
Yeah, I told him that. We need another impact, but that main priority is corners and interior offensive linemen. I need a center, and I need another guard in here. Well, then we can get another stud linebacker.
Offensive line, it goes without saying. I mean, that's priority number 1, 2, and 3. I mean, they need a tremendous amount of depth, and they need to clearly tweak some of the personnel. But, Shakes, I'm very happy to hear that you told John that linebacker is a need because if there's anybody that people listen to around this organization when it comes to the draft board, it's John Schmelk. So the fact that you're hammering home to him the biggest necessities come the draft, I'm very happy to hear that. So I'm glad that you cleared
good.
That up yesterday. Yes.
Good, because I need my boys to be heard in that organization.
Absolutely, and that's what we're here for. And John Schmelk is the conduit between the voices of the fans and the organization, the decision makers here. So the fact that you laid that out for him yesterday, I think you should be able to sleep well for the next few months, knowing that that info
good.
Will be passed along.
Can I ask you one last question,
sure,
man?
Sure, absolutely.
Then I'm out, man.
What you got?
All right. Because also I told John this yesterday, because he had brought up, was a caller last week said, you know, what about Brandon Albert bringing him? Or and he actually responded and said, well, you know, Brandon Albert would be nice, or maybe even Michael Orr from the Ravens. So he was naming tackles, but we got two good tackles, supposedly, in Beatty and Pugh. So I brought this up to him. I would like for them to switch them because I think that Pugh looks more like a left tackle than Beatty is, just by physical stature and, you know. So just my opinion. And so if we get another tackle, what do we do? Do we throw Pugh inside?
Well, Pugh has played there, so that's an option. I mean, to answer your question, Pugh also played left tackle dating back to his days at Syracuse, but it's not a matter
right.
of whether or not Pugh would be a good fit at left tackle. The more important question is, would Beatty be a good fit at right tackle? And I'm not so sure that would be the best spot to put him in. So that's the reason why moving Pugh to left tackle may not be the best game plan. If anything, you move him to guard and you bring in another right tackle. But I think right now you have to take into consideration Pugh had a full rookie season where he played every game for the most part at tackle. He showed consistency. He gained comfort there. Why do you now want to all of a sudden move him inside? To me, you leave him there. You bring in a new guard if Deal determines he wants to retire. And then you start to build chemistry in the offseason with Pugh still at right tackle and a new guard next to him.
Yeah, it's just that I don't know if it's a dominant guard in there. I see a lot of dominant tackles being free agents. And they also, like a lot of Giants fans, are bringing up the name Alex Mack from Cleveland.
Well, Mack is a center.
For the center.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the center position. And I like that because we do need a center. I think we need a center and a guard. And if we can bring in Mack and maybe even just draft a top guard or you know, like in the second or third round, then that would be a good look.
Well, I think they're going to look to balance it out between free agency as well as the draft. I mean, you can't solve the offensive line through just free agency alone because there's only so many dollars that they can throw around. So in an ideal world, you need to balance it out. But here's the thing that you can't get caught up in, Shakes, and you use the term big name on the market or lack thereof. You know, just because a guy is not a big name, I mean, let's be honest, how many guards are you hearing about across the NFL each and every day? Offensive linemen are almost unknown commodities because they're not big-time personalities.
Right. You know what? Even this is the case for real. If you don't hear about an offensive lineman, then he's doing his job.
Well said. You took the words right out of my mouth. That's the bottom line. Yeah. If you're not hearing about the guy, then he's taking care of business each and every game.
Right. Yep. You're right about that, man. You're right.
All right, Jake.
So, yeah, that main priorities, offensive lineman, cornerback, and another stud linebacker. Thanks for taking my call, Lance. I'm going to try to call it again tomorrow.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you. I'll be back tomorrow, too, to take that phone call. All right, Shakes. Good talking with you. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on social media. Hashtag Giants Chat at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's head back to the lines. We got Sharon in Irvington. Sharon, what's happening?
Good morning. I want to agree with what the other gentleman just said about the offensive line and the linebackers. That is a definite. I don't care how we get it, the draft or whatever, but that needs to happen. And I'm so glad, no disrespect to Gilbert, but I'm so glad he retired because that should have happened. And in my belief, it should have already happened. And the other two coaches, whatever, all the changes, all this changing, and I'll call the changing of the guard, should have been happened before this season. But I'm so glad finally the organization woke up and it's changing. And hopefully this will be for the better and we can get another Super Bowl. And I'm so sorry that it can't happen in our own house that we're not there.
Well, no one's been able to accomplish that. It's been a jinx in the NFL. The city, the team that hosts the Super Bowl, has never been able to take part in that game. So the Giants basically are right in line with just about every other team. But as far as the changes on offense, Sharon, John Mara at his press conference, I keep saying this over and over again. He said the offense is broken, and he's a man of his word. He mentioned that they were going to make plenty of changes. They're starting with the coaches, and you're probably going to see changes in personnel because they realized that a lot of things did not go according to plan this season. So you're going to have a new-looked offense with a new offensive coordinator now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this already should have happened.
Well,
instead of waiting until now, this should have happened already, like a few years ago.
Well, keep in mind, Kevin Gilbride, and appreciate the phone call, Sharon. Thanks so much. Kevin Gilbride did help this team win two Super Bowls, and that did take part within a few seasons. So let's not forget 2011, following that year, they did win a Super Bowl. So when you say that it should have happened a while ago, I think most Giants fans would take the Super Bowl instead of coaching changes back then. Let's put things in perspective a little. Did they need some tweaks? Did they need some changes? Absolutely. But it's very easy when you look at Kevin Gilbride and you say, oh, too predictable, this and that, that things get overlooked in terms of what he actually did accomplish for this team. So, you know, you really need to step back and reevaluate before you start saying, oh, this should have been done 4 or 5 years ago. The Giants offense had a tremendous amount of success that 2011 season. Let's not forget about that. Last season and this past season hasn't been the case. Part of it was injuries, part of it was scheme, part of it was decision-making by the personnel, and that's why the Giants realized that they need to revamp, and they did. You're going to have a new offensive coordinator, you have a new running backs coach, you're going to get a new tight ends coach, and you're going to have a new philosophy from an offensive standpoint, and you're going to see new players come in, whether it be through free agency or through the draft. So, you know, for everybody to say that the Giants are staying as is, that is completely not the case heading into 2014. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Timothy in Jackson. Timothy, what's happening?
Nothing. I got a question to you. Following the departure of Joaquin X, will the Giants trade Ruben Randle, a 2014 second-round pick, and a 2015 fourth-round pick to the Cardinals for Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, I would say that that's slightly unlikely, Tim, and appreciate the phone call. Number one, I don't think the Cardinals want to part ways with Larry Fitzgerald. Number two, Reuben Randle is still a very young receiver that has to hone his own skill set and I think has started to fit well within the system. So I don't think the Giants want to part ways with youth. And when we say Akeem Nicks is departing, you know, it's a little premature to say that too. Akeem Nicks right now is within the Giants' game plan until free agency starts. So right now, it's very too early to speculate what the receiving core is going to look like. I would say, you know, they're going to explore their options there. They're going to see what Akeem Nicks is getting offered outside the organization, and Akeem Nicks is going to do the same. But right now, the game plan is you want to keep this receiving core intact. I don't think you want to completely break up everybody. You have some pieces you can work with. Victor Cruz and Reuben Randle, I think, are the two that jump off the page. Do they need to add a little bit more depth? Absolutely. And if Akeem Nicks does part ways with the team, that will be another void that they'll have to fill. And you would assume that they're going to have some financial flexibility to address that, or they could do that through the draft. But, you know, to lay out hypotheticals of maybe acquiring a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, keep in mind, the Arizona Cardinals were a win away, a loss away from another team from getting into the playoffs. They had a very productive season. I think the last thing the Cardinals are looking to do is break apart that team. And Larry Fitzgerald is a big reason why they had such a successful bounce-back season under Bruce Arians. So I think Arizona has big plans for Larry Fitzgerald. They're not looking to necessarily get younger in that department. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to a majority of your tweets throughout the program as well. But let's go to our good buddy Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening? How's it going this morning? Listen, I wasn't going to talk about my man, but since the last call, I just brought him up. I called yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to say one thing, and that was about Hakeem. You know, first of all, I'm just wanting to know if you could explain to me or if you have an idea why all these negative things are just coming out about, you know, Hakeem at the end of the season, about him being late for meetings, all these little things that I kind of really feel like that's the Giants management really trying to position themselves to get him at a cheaper amount than he may have gotten if there wasn't bad, you know, thoughts about him. You know, is there any way that there's any, you know, there's any truth to that? Because I feel like, you know, I think they want to keep Hakeem. Really, I don't think we're ready to part with him, and I think we really just kind of devalue him a little bit, you know, in order to hopes to sign him at a, you know, at a very modest contract. What are your thoughts about that, Lance?
Well, first of all, I just want to clarify, Steve. I think the New York media has it out for you, and they take a great deal of pride in releasing these stories now because they know how passionate you are about Akeem Nicks. But no, to keep it to a more serious nature, the reason why these stories come out now is because both sides in the offseason are a little bit more willing to reveal their side of things now that the season is not taking place. But you have to keep in mind, it's all speculation. You know, I can't say with full confidence that one party or one report is more accurate than the other. And you can't assume by reading some of these reports that the Giants are definitely going to part ways with Nicks, and Nicks is definitely going to head elsewhere. I think, though, it's safe to say they are both going to explore their options, meaning Nicks, since he hasn't been a free agent, has the right to determine whether or not he could get a better offer and whether or not he would be a better fit with another team. And the Giants need to do the same to determine whether or not they could upgrade from Akeem Nicks or it is worth bringing him back. As far as his character, as far as whether or not, you know, he's been troublesome in the locker room, like I said, you read into it as much as you wish. Whether or not the Giants are going to use those reports to determine whether they want to bring him back, you know, you can say that about any team. They'll listen to what the reports are saying, but that doesn't mean that that's the main guiding force.
Well, I think Hakeem's going to be here next year. I'm sorry to disappoint all those people who want to see him gone, but I think he's going to be here. You know, one way or the other, I think he's going to end up being a Giant next year, and I'm looking forward to it. But on a different note, Lance, you know, I've kind of been hearing, you know, I heard some remarks that Victor Cruz has said about the offense. I think, you know, I don't know if it was sarcasm or not, basically saying that, you know, everybody's going to be a rookie. You know, have you heard anything about the mindset of the offensive players, you know, which ones we actually know are going to be here next year, how they feel about having a new offense implemented?
Well, I also heard some comments from Victor Cruz in which he said that, you know, he was looking forward to having a new offensive coordinator because sometimes it doesn't hurt to change things up. So, you know, basically, I believe that they're optimistic. They're excited. It gives players an opportunity to, you know, really step back and look at their strengths, look at their weaknesses, and get a new philosophy in here. And I think Eli Manning is looking at it the same way. It's way too early because, you know, McAdoo has only had so much interaction with some of the players. They're going to have to do the heavy lifting in OTAs and minicamp, but I haven't heard anybody being down. I'm sure, listen, a lot of the players, Steve, you have to understand, had a great deal of ties and time invested in Kevin Gilbride. So I'm sure a lot of the players are fully getting over that at first, but as far as they're concerned, once OTA start, once minicamp starts, you know, they put their head down, they look at the notebook, they look at the film, they hear what McAdoo has to say, and they start approaching it head on. So I would say for the most part, I haven't heard anything in terms of bad blood brewing or guys really disappointed that they're going to have to all of a sudden hit the books and study a new philosophy. To me, it gives them an opportunity to be rejuvenated and get more excited, if anything.
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts? Is Andre Johnson a free agent? I want to see a big receiver. I mean, our receivers, I mean, other than Hakeem, none of them, and Ruben, I mean, Ruben's what, 6'1", 6'2", maybe? But, you know, I was kind of looking forward to maybe getting a little bit bigger of a receiver, maybe Andre Johnson. Is he going to be a free agent? Is, you know, do you think
Andre,
have enough room?
Andre Johnson is not a free agent at this point, so that is not going to be an option for the New York Giants. Plus, keep in mind, even if Andre Johnson was a free agent, you know, Steve, you have to understand he's going to demand big money on the open market, and I don't think the Giants are in a position to put all of their money in one wide receiver knowing they have a lot of other issues that they need to address.
Yeah, well, let's hope it starts on the offensive line, and, you know, do you think we're you think we're going to pick a running back up in free agency or, you know, or the draft?
I think that it's a possibility they go to free agency. But if they go to free agency, remember, whoever they bring in better not have a track record of injuries. So if they feel that all the free agents have a track record of injuries, I wouldn't be surprised if they then turn to the draft and look to bring in a younger guy. But then again, if you go to the draft, Steve, remember, and you feel that a running back priority number one is to block and be that extra offensive lineman, you've got to draft a running back that comes from a system where he's been called upon to pass protect.
Well, I'm not thinking we're going to be dependent upon the running back as much as we were under the Kevin Gilbride system. You know, the West Coast offense doesn't really, you know, because it's such an upbeat offense, I don't really think that, you know, I think the running backs would be more looking for a screen pass as opposed to, you know, blocking. That kind of has always bothered me, considering that whenever our running backs are in there, you know, they're usually running the ball, you know.
Well, but you can't, that's only one segment of an offense, and I understand the West Coast philosophy, Steve, but then when you look at a third down, and let's say you're in a third and long, because you're not guaranteed to always be in a manageable third down, you're going to need the running back to be able to pick up a blitz if that's the situation that presents itself. So you always need running backs that have a great deal of experience and can handle a variety of situations, because if you bring in only a running back that is known for catching passes out of the backfield and running, then if you're faced with a situation on a third down or a second down, you no longer can have that guy in under those circumstances. So why put yourself in that situation?
Yeah, I got your point. Well, last thing I wanted to ask about is tight ends. You know, draft, free agency, you know, I was really, other than what, Jimmy Graham, I think he's going to be a free agent.
Jimmy Graham is probably going to demand, but once again,
a lot of money.
Absolutely, you hit it right on the nose. I don't need to clarify that. First of all, the Saints are talking about giving him the franchise tag, so he may not even be able to hit the market.
Hey, you know, I hope we get one anyway. You know, I'm still hurting from letting Martellus Bennett go, to be honest with you.
But listen, a lot of Giants fans are, and it's a valid point, Steve, but you have to remember, and I know we sound like a broken record here, in an ideal world, if the Giants had a little bit more financial flexibility, Martellus Bennett would be in a Giants uniform. But the bottom line is it came down to money. And Martellus Bennett got a lot of money from the Chicago Bears, and the Giants were not in a position where they could match. So they felt that they were going to take the approach of bringing in a guy that, yes, doesn't have a great deal of experience in a blocking standpoint, but considering they've turned Jake Ballard, Kevin Boss, some of these other unknown commodities into blockers, they felt that they could do that all over again.
Well, that Mike Pope is gone now. So, you know, Coach Pope is gone now. So hopefully our new tight end coach can get these guys ready to go and protect Eli, because tight end is Eli's best friend. So we really need a good tight end in order for Eli to, you know, to flourish. So, hey, Lance, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for taking my call. Great show, and I'll be listening up here.
Have a good one, Steve. I appreciate the phone call. You too. And I know Steve is going to be keeping very close tabs on the Hakeem Nicks storylines as they progress. Clearly, he's looking at all the New York media outlets down in D.C. And when it comes to Hakeem Nicks breaking news, trust me, Steve in D.C. will be the first one to pass that along. And as I mentioned, he's now on Twitter. He's branching out. He's not just a guy that relies on the old school technology and the phones. You can follow his whereabouts on Twitter as well. So we will get back to your tweets also throughout the course of this program. We'll get back to the phone lines. One thing I wanted to piggyback off of the last point that Steve brought up, and he mentioned that, well, clearly they've got to bring in a tight ends coach since Mike Pope is no longer with the organization. But I highlighted this when they hired Ben McAdoo. Whoever comes in as the tight ends coach is clearly going to have a big role in honing the skills of the tight ends. But keep in mind, Ben McAdoo was a tight ends coach with the Green Bay Packers. So that is going to be an advantage to whoever is on this roster at that position. And he groomed guys that you probably never heard of before they joined the Packers system. I'm not talking about Jermichael Finley. I'm talking about guys like Tom Crabtree and Andrew Corliss. You know, those weren't necessarily household names. He turned them in to not big-name studded tight ends, but productive tight ends within their system. So just because he's the offensive coordinator, don't assume that he's only going to get caught up in scheme. He'll still be invested in the various positions on offense. So that's going to be an advantage for the Giants, somebody that has a great deal of knowledge at that position. Let's head back to the lines, and we go to AJ in South Carolina. AJ, what's happening?
Good morning, John Lance. I got two questions.
Sure, what you got, AJ?
With it being McAdoo offense, what do you expect for them to do?
You mean in terms of the offensive philosophy?
Yeah.
Well, I think the offensive philosophy is going to be drastically different from Gilbride. I'm not saying that they're going to do flea flickers every single down and end arounds, but I think you're going to get a taste of what the Green Bay Packers do. Not identical, because remember, Eli Manning's not a mobile quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is. So Aaron Rodgers gives you the opportunity to do some things that are going to be very different than what Eli Manning brings to the table. But I think you're going to see, you know, some different personnel out there at times. Green Bay used a lot of two tight end formations. That is something that maybe the Giants will adopt. And Green Bay also spread the wealth with its wide receivers. Remember, Green Bay had a lot of depth at that position. So that afforded them the opportunity to put out guys like James Jones, Jared Boykin, Randall Cobb. A lot of guys that I just named off. The Giants didn't necessarily have that type of benefit. So I think you're going to see a lot of new formations where you could see three or four wide receivers, two tight ends, and I think you're going to see the running backs involved a little bit more in passing situations, because Eddie Lacy went out, he caught receptions. They also, keep in mind, used the fullback a lot. John Kuhn got goal line carries, so, you know, maybe a guy like John Connor or Henry Hynoski, if he's brought back, will be more involved in being a guy that they can hand the football off to as opposed to solely a blocker.
I got one more question.
Sure.
About if Hakeem Nicks do leave, do you think Reuben Randall be the number one guy?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're going to need Reuben Randall to be the number one guy. You know, what happens in the NFL is we get caught up with these rankings. You know, Victor Cruz, to me, is not a guy that plays on the outside, but let's face it, AJ, he is the go-to guy. He built enough chemistry with Eli Manning. If you need a big play, you need a first down, Eli's going to look the way of Victor Cruz. So if you want to put a ranking on it, regardless of who would come in to replace Hakeem Nicks under a hypothetical, Victor Cruz is still the number one guy. To answer the question about can Reuben Randall help fill the void, I would say I think he's shown enough flashes where he can be a guy, but he needs to be more consistent. I mean, we saw a stretch, remember, where he got six touchdowns in six games, and then what happened in the later stages of the season, AJ? did we really see much of Reuben Randle? Plus, you know, holding on to the football, making catches, you know, his movements after making the catch. You know, these are all things that he has to work on. I think there's potential. I'm not yet willing to crown him, if that answers your question.
All right, I got one more question. I want the Giants to get like a cornerback with some long arms like the Seahawks got.
You're talking about Brandon Browner because he's going to be on the market. But keep in mind, Brandon Browner is facing a suspension and is having to serve a suspension. So I don't know if he would be a legitimate guy. The other guy that the Seahawks may part ways with who's going to be a free agent is Walter Thurman. But he's not necessarily as big and not an outside presence like a Brandon Browner. But to answer your question, I think they definitely want to bring in a guy that fits that profile in terms of the size and physicality. I just don't know if the Seahawks personnel are the guys that are the right fit for the Giants system.
Okay. I'm going to get off the phone.
All right, AJ. You got it. Thanks so much for you got it. Thanks so much for chiming in. As AJ bringing up about the size of corners and whether or not the Giants are going to go in that direction. And a number of you have weighed in on that, too. Shakes was number one right off the gates. He wanted to see the Giants bring in a bigger corner, and they may do that through the draft, and they may clearly look at free agency and see if there's somebody that has that presence that would be a very good fit for this system. Because, you know, you have corners, they just don't have a great deal of size. Tremaine McBride's a very little guy. Jayron Hosley's a little guy. I think that they can use somebody who has a little bit more physicality, a little bit more size. And the reason why everybody on the Seahawks is always brought up is because the Seahawks unit, and we talked about this in great length, especially when they played Seattle this season, they pride themselves on that physicality, stepping up to the line, jamming guys at the line, and also having the one-on-one skills to win those individual battles so that in the event that you don't get your pass rush going, you can still rely on these corners to make a difference. And Seattle is the one team, to me, that jumps off the page. They got guys like Richard Sherman, Byron Maxwell, Brandon Browner, Walter Thurman. I mean, you're talking about a great deal of depth, and you're talking about the one common trait all of those guys share is the physical nature of the individual and the fact that, you know, they can win a lot of these individual battles. It would be ideal for the Giants to bring in one of those guys. But remember, sometimes the money doesn't always work out. The profile of the player works out, but sometimes they demand a great deal of money, and it may not be a very good fit for the Giants. So that's the biggest challenge that the Giants are going to have to face. Let's get to some of your tweets, and you can continue to chime in at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Mike Farmer, our very good friend, at MFarmer20. The reason the Giants don't have cap space is on them. Got to stop using that as an excuse like they have no control over it. Well, of course, by locking up players in the past, that limits their flexibility. So I'm not necessarily going to argue with that point. But, you know, they have been trying to counter that. They gave out a lot of one-year deals last season, and they could have very well locked themselves up all over again, but they now have flexibility because of the decisions they made last offseason. So, you know, that's the type of challenge that every team faces. It's not just the Giants. We've got to put this in a big picture perspective. If the Giants were the only ones that were facing salary cap challenges, then I could say, okay, maybe they need to reevaluate their game plan. But I could pick two teams, one being a team that shares this market, the Jets, and the Carolina Panthers, who entered this past offseason in very tough situations, brought in new GMs who had to move mountains just to have the flexibility to bring in some players and make some tweaks. And they're still in a challenging spot with regard to that this offseason. So, you know, the Giants are not the only team facing salary cap challenges. Every team has to do that. And that, to me, to a certain degree, is what's great about the NFL. Because to bring in another sport here, look at Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball does not have a cap. They have a luxury tax, but has that really stopped teams from spending? What the salary cap does is it helps to present a balanced playing field. There's a great deal of parity in the NFL, and the reason being is even if you're a powerhouse in the NFL, you can't go out on the open market and buy up everybody. So that, to me, is a benefit. And I know sometimes it's hard to look at it, but to me, that's one of the great things about the NFL, the fact that you could go from 2-14 one year like the Kansas City Chiefs, and you can win 10 games the next. So if you're the Giants, you missed the playoffs this year, they still have a very good chance of making the playoffs and winning the division next year. Why? Because of the structure of the NFL. And I think compared to last offseason, the Giants are going to have the ability to spend some money. But as John Mara mentioned at his press conference, and he was asked this question, and he said his philosophy is not to just look at free agency and buy up everybody and go on a spending spree, because that doesn't always work. Because to address Mike's point on Twitter, if you don't want to put yourself in the same position where you're facing issues with the salary cap, then the Giants' philosophy this offseason shouldn't be to address all of their needs by spending money. They have to be wise from that standpoint. If you're going to say the Giants are in this position because of their own doing, then the wise thing to do this offseason, when they really could use the money to change up the roster, is to say, no, wait a minute, we need to find more of a balance. You have to always do that. You need to see what can we do in the draft versus what can we do in free agency. And I think that the Giants are going to look to do that. I bring this up all the time. And we brought up the Seattle Seahawks. AJ just brought up that team. Look at Seattle's defense. 8 of their 11 starters drafted between rounds 3 through 6. There's a reason why they're in the Super Bowl, folks. It's because they didn't have to go on the open market and they didn't have to buy two corners, buy two safeties. They drafted all these guys. And if they didn't draft them, their scouting department was on top of it and they brought them in through other avenues. That's how you got to do it. And you look at the Giants' recent drafts and you look at rounds 3 through 7, it hasn't turned out the way that they anticipated. More of a reason why you need to do well with picks 1 and 2 in those early rounds, so that in the event that 3 through 7 don't pan out, at least you know 1 and 2 you could turn to without a doubt, and they could be impactful players. And the Giants are the first ones to tell you, based on what Jerry Reese said and John Mara said, you know, they have had some misses. They have to improve in the draft as well. A lot of the focus is on free agency, but don't overlook the draft. You got to strike there, too. Let's look at some more of your tweets in terms of how you feel the Giants are going to approach the offseason. Bob at BobK22, thoughts on Craig Johnson as the running backs coach. Don't know much about him. And I did address that off the top of the show. I'll rehash some of those thoughts in case you're just joining us. Craig Johnson has a great deal of experience all over the place, not necessarily as a running backs coach. Last three seasons, he was the Vikings quarterbacks coach, so he worked with Ponder, Castle, and Josh Freeman, and you know they played a game of musical chairs based on the Giants going up against the Vikings, so that was somewhat of a challenge. But he was also the quarterbacks coach with the Tennessee Titans, and he worked with Steve McNair, Kerry Collins, and Vince Young, and all three of those quarterbacks certainly had at least a year or two where you could point to a tremendous amount of success. He was also the running backs coach in Tennessee, so he's worked with the likes of Chris Johnson. He's seen him produce and mature over the course of his career. He was also the assistant head coach in Tennessee, and he has a great deal of experience at the collegiate level. He worked in college coaching all different players at all different positions from the early 80s all the way till 1999. So he did a lot of his heavy lifting at the college level, which is a good thing, because keep in mind, let's say the Giants go the direction of the draft to bring in a young running back, and David Wilson is still very young. So is Andre Brown if they bring him back. So who better to help mold these guys than a guy that has had a great deal of experience with young running backs, not necessarily the typical veteran running back. So that, I think, would be a very good fit for the system. The fact that he has experience all over the place is good for the offense, because you have a new offensive coordinator. You have a new philosophy that they're trying to instill. Just because Craig Johnson is, with his title, the running backs coach, doesn't mean that he can't help out the tight ends. Doesn't mean that he can't help out the quarterback and the running back. Because remember, all these offensive coaches meet as a group. They're all spreading their wisdom around the table. He'll be able to give his take on the offense just as the new tight ends coach, the wide receivers coach, and so forth. So the fact that he has experience at many different levels, at many different positions, I think is important for an offense that is in a transitional phase where you're bringing in a new offensive coordinator and you're trying to take this philosophy, mold it, and sell it to the players. He's a type of guy that has worked with veterans, rookies, and so forth. So that's important. Plus, he worked with a team that was in a transitional phase in itself with the Minnesota Vikings. 2011, they drafted Christian Ponder. He worked with him right when he came out of college. So that, I think, is a positive for the Giants in terms of what Craig Johnson can bring to the table. And I understand he's not necessarily a household name, but let's be honest. How many running backs coaches are household names? You know, are you looking across the league and you're saying, oh, I know who the Titans running backs coach is and so forth? To me, the important element is the experience factor and the fact that you have a new offensive coordinator. And, you know, Ben McAdoo has experience in this league, but he's new to the Giants organization. So he's going to need somewhat of an adjustment period. And based on Craig Johnson and where he's worked, you know, he's been able to adjust in all different types of systems. So that will help Tom Coughlin on many levels. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's take a look at more of your tweets. More opinions on the salary cap. See, I love Mike Farmer because if we need a topic of discussion, you leave it to Mike Farmer to bring it up on Twitter, and then everybody on our Giants.com Big Blue Kickoff live page just piggybacks off of that. So we look at Elo H at Elo underscore Bajo. Giants cap problems stem from being a competitive team trying to retain their players to stay on top. And I think that that is a very good point. A lot of teams in this day and age want to keep their nucleus together. But what is the biggest challenge under this new salary cap structure? It's hard to keep everybody. It's hard to sign everybody. And remember, once these guys play out their rookie contracts, now all of a sudden you got to pay them. Look at the Seahawks, for example. I mentioned that there's a reason they're in the Super Bowl because 8 of their 11 defensive starters were drafted between rounds 3 through 6. However, a lot of these guys are also approaching free agency. That's why they have to let the likes of the Brandon Browners potentially walk. Richard Sherman is going to be a free agent in 2015. They're probably going to have to discuss an extension to a certain degree with him. They just gave Cam Chancellor a deal. Earl Thomas is going to be due for a new deal. Can't keep everybody. It's very hard. That's a reason why the guys you can't bring back, you need to replace them through the draft. Because as Elo brought up, it's impossible to re-sign everybody. And since the Giants have been in the playoff hunt year in and year out, means that they have a good deal of talent. So therefore, the talent is going to gain interest elsewhere as a result. So a great point by Elo. See, I'm not going to pat Mike Farmer on the back too much, but Elo I'll be willing to pat on the back. And I'm sure Mike is going to have something to say as a result. All right, let's take a look at some of your other tweets. Bob weighs in about my thoughts on Craig Johnson, the new running backs coach. Now, here's the thing. I see only one Shakes at Shakes 25-1984. And he's promoting himself to follow. Now, I'm assuming this is our boy Shakes. I didn't know Shakes was on Twitter. So I'm learning something new. See, we know Steve from DC is on Twitter. And my apologies. I know I'm promoting Steve so much, but I don't have his Twitter handle at my disposal. If I did, I would definitely promote it. So if Steve's listening, if he's on Twitter, Steve, throw out something on our Giants.com page, and I'll give you some extra pub. I'm not asking for anything in return. Notice that. I'm being a very kind guy this morning. I don't showcase this personality every single morning. So take it while it's hot. But if this is Shakes, Shakes is doing all he can to gain more followers. And we want to do all we can to help out the Giants fan base. All right, we'll go back to Twitter because we're getting a lot of activity. Trina New York at KTNT80, joking about the comment I made because Aaron Rodgers is a mobile quarterback when AJ called up to see what the Giants' offensive system will look like. And I mentioned, well, you have to look at what the Packers have done, and jokingly said, well, Eli can be mobile just at 0.001 miles an hour. Yes, we know the fair share of jokes regarding Eli Manning's lack of mobility. And we've gotten our fair share of phone calls about that, too. And in D.C., She's the first one to mention that the Giants need to bring in the read option. And I can't agree anymore. They clearly need to start adapting to what some of their competitors are doing. Because when I think mobility, I think Eli Manning. And clearly that is the type of offensive system that would be ideal for the New York Giants. And speaking of Ann from D.C., Dave in Rochester and Vic Fontana at NFL NYG 43, two of our very loyal listeners and tweeters, thinking that maybe one of our previous callers was another disguise of Ann from D.C., and they have a very entertaining back and forth. That's what I'm saying. If you have an opportunity to join the conversation on Twitter, Giants.com/BigBlueKickoffLive is the page that solely focuses on this show. So I direct your attention that way if you want to chime in on the conversation. So some good thoughts on Twitter, and once again, I would head that way. If you have any thoughts on the new Giants running backs coach, who is Craig Johnson, I spoke in great detail about that. If you want to see where the Giants are going to head in free agency, where they're going to head in the draft, feel free to throw out your thoughts. A few minutes remaining in the program, and the lines are still open, 201-939-4513. And let's head back to the lines, and we go to another good friend of the program, Roldy, in Bayshore. Roldy, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance. How you doing?
Doing very well, Roldy. How you doing?
Can't complain. Two questions. Did they start the negotiation process with Justin Tuck and John Beeson yet, or no, it's not in the works yet?
Well, the Giants are never going to go public with that. I mean, you can discuss things with your own free agents a little bit earlier in the game compared to guys that are on the market. So I'm sure that Jerry Reese is looking at and talking to John Beeson and Justin Tuck's representatives in there. This is the feeling out time that I like to call it, where they see, you know, where the Giants are, where those two free agents are, and they're trying to lay the groundwork because, listen, in an ideal world, assuming they want to bring back both guys, Roldy, they want to try to prevent both of them from testing the market. Because if you remember, when they looked at Will Beatty last season and they gave him that deal, you know, they got out in front of Will Beatty very early so that another team wouldn't have an opportunity to match or wow him. So they're doing their due diligence, I'm sure, with both of those guys.
Yeah, because it seems like both parties want each other back. You know, if that's the case, I just hope, you know, both could come to an agreement at a fair number, for that will, you know, be good enough for their family and also good enough for the Giants. You know, because I'm sure they know that the Giants have, you know, a little bit of money to play with this offseason. But far as the running back, you know, I mean, would you agree that I wouldn't even really feel comfortable going back to the draft? You know, I would rather go towards a free agency as far as a running back. You know what I mean? I mean, we already have David Wilson, assuming he's going to come back healthy. But I would want, like, at least a young, experienced running back, you know, to coexist with David Wilson. And if we do lose Hakeem Nix, I mean, do we go towards the draft for a wide receiver in the later rounds, or do we go far as free agency? Because I don't really think there's a lot of, you know, good free agents, you know, that's out in the market for his wide receiver. Even though I know the Giants always, they never go after big name, you know, names, but they always get somebody that's always going to fit their system. But would you agree that, you know, the better way for them to go towards is the free agency for his wide receiver if they do leave, if Hakeem Nix does leave the Giants?
Well, I think there are some playmakers in this year's draft class that the Giants can go in terms of drafting a guy. For example, the kid from Clemson, Watkins, who I think has really wowed a lot of people. I mean, I think he's going to get...
But I don't think he's going to be there 12th round.
And you're 100% right. I just brought that up because I wanted to give an example that there are playmakers that you can find in college that will translate well to the NFL. But you're 100% right. He's going to be a very early draft pick. He won't even be around when the Giants get their first pick number 12. But I think, to answer your question, if Hakeem Nix does leave, you can find a playmaker in free agency. Because you're right, the Giants' philosophy hasn't been to go out, make a big splash for a wide receiver. And two names that jump off the page that are at least named, I would say, is Eric Decker and James Jones, who at least are of the name commodity. That doesn't mean that they're going to be ideal fits, though, for the Giants system. So, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be the right game plan to say, oh, well, we lose Nix, let's get the biggest name on the market, and he'll come in, and Eli Manning will be able to pick up where Hakeem Nix left off.
Okay, perfect. One more thing. I just want the Giants to just do what they have to do this offseason. Not spend all their money on one guy. I just want if the players are saying that they want to come back in the sense of John Beeson and Justin Tuck, hopefully they could come to an agreement that's a fair number for them and a fair number for the Giants, assuming that they really want to be with the Giants. I know Hakeem Nicks is not going to be there, but if those two guys, like I've been hearing, that they want to be back, I know you got to get your money in the NFL the best way you can get it, but, if they really want to come back and they want to be part of this Giants team, because I feel like the Giants are not too far away from going and contending for a Super Bowl next year. I truly feel that, and I hope the players could see that. If they truly want to be back, I just want them to come back at a fair price.
Well,
thanks. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say before I let you go, Roldy, the other thing to consider, which is why I agree with where you're coming from, if you lock those two guys up early in free agency, keep in mind, you now have a better idea of how much money you have to work with to fill in some of your other holes. So it's almost as if you've already carved out the space for Tuck and Beeson, as opposed to going out in free agency and saying, oh, my God, wait, we've still got to keep space for those two guys.
Right. Because we in some ways, everybody's going, we're all saying that we got to fix the offensive line, which is true. We do got to fix the offensive line, but we can't forget about the defense. The defense got to, it still needs to be, this free agent, that's on our defense that we got to take care of, I feel, first, and then go towards the offensive line and free agency, and then go towards the draft. That's how I want, Jerry Reese to look at it. Take care of our own guys, make our guys come back at a fair number. Then look at the free agency, as far as veteran the presence on the offensive line. Because like I said yesterday, I do not want Jerry Reese to draft an offensive line in this draft. Maybe in the later rounds, but in far as the offensive line, I want them to get somebody, two guys in free agency as far as veterans that can control the line of scrimmage and protect the Eli Manning and then go towards the draft. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, Lance, for taking my phone call. I appreciate
Roldy,
that.
Always good hearing from you. Thanks so much for weighing in. And they can get a guard in the later rounds. I mean, you don't necessarily have to draft a guard. Tackles are the ones that go fairly early in the draft. So if guard is the biggest priority, I would think you address it in free agency or you wait maybe till, round 3, 4, 5 to pick up on a guard, because to take one in round 1 and round 2 to me would be a little too early in the game. And Roldy's right. There are needs on offense, but that doesn't mean that you can overlook defense. That's why it's a balancing act heading into this offseason. And the Giants did not improve their running game by pure luck. They improved their running game, I'm talking about the defense, in stopping the run, because they brought in the right personnel that fit the system. So the goal is to maintain that group, keep it together. You don't want to shake up the defensive line too much. You need to have money, though, to keep it together. So they need to at least think from that perspective. Linville Joseph is a free agent. Many of you have chimed in on that over the course of the last few weeks. How much is he going to demand on the open market? Defensive tackles are not necessarily positions that teams open up the piggy bank. But once again, when you're only a free agent X amount of times as a player, you want to be able to test the market. And that's why a lot of guys are not so quick, even if they're comfortable with their current team, to sign on the dotted line. And that's why when I look at John Beeson, I know a number of you saying, hey, he enjoyed himself here for the limited time. It's a good fit. He revitalized his career. Wouldn't he all of a sudden want to re-sign quickly? In an ideal world, the answer would be yes. But you have to understand, he's coming off a lot of injuries. He made a statement this season, hasn't had a great deal of time to test the market. If you're representing John Beeson, this is just the business side of the NFL. Don't you say to your client, John, I know you feel as if the Giants are a good fit, and I'm sure the Giants are going to give you a respectable offer, but let's see what else we can get out there. And that's the challenge that the Giants are going to have to face. More so, I think, with Beeson than Tuck. Because I think Tuck, as I emphasized earlier in the week, is at the stage in his career where it's not necessarily about the finances. It's about finishing up his career with one organization. And he's comfortable here. He's presented himself as a leader. Coaching staff likes what he brings to the table. The players have fed off of him. So I think you're talking about two guys that are on the market, but maybe coming from opposite mindsets. Let's try to squeeze in another caller or two. Anthony is in Phoenix. Anthony, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance. How are you?
Doing very well, Anthony. How about yourself? What you got?
Excellent. I'd like to run something by you. As far as running backs, I've watched out here living in Phoenix. I watched this LaRod Stevens howling, and the Cardinals let him go couple years ago. I really loved him on special teams, on kickoff returns, and on third and long, we could use him as a slashback out of the backfield. What do you think about him?
Well, I think Laurent Stevens-Helling has been an impactful player. He was also with the Steelers, if I recall briefly, during the course of his career. So, you know, he's a guy that, like you said, he is a running back by trade, but the fact that he can contribute to special teams makes him that much more attractive. The problem is though, with respect to what he could do as a running back, he's not a guy that's going to give you, you know, 20 carries a game. He's going to be, you know, maybe a third down specialist, a guy that you can use in passing down situations. So right now, if I'm to look at the Giants' needs, hey, they could definitely use Anthony, a guy on special teams, to be an impactful player in terms of the return game. They could use somewhat of a change of pace running back. But before they need a change of pace running back, they need a guy that's going to stay healthy and be able to carry the ball 15 to 20 times. And I'm not so sure he fits that need. So before they look at the likes of a Laurent Stevens-Helling, they've got to bring in that big bruiser who they feel can be that stable running back. Is it Andre Brown? And if it's not Andre Brown, you've got to go elsewhere before you start bringing in these guys that are niche players. And what I mean by that, they're guys that you can only use on certain situations.
Right. As far as the offensive line, we talked yesterday, I talked with John a little bit about Michael Orr. What do you think would be reasonable to pick up Michael Orr?
Well, Michael Orr, I think, is going to demand a great deal of money. He is a free agent, so he will test the market. He's appealing because he can play both left tackle and right tackle. Baltimore had to move him around once they acquired Eugene Monroe from the Jacksonville Jaguars midseason. So he has a great deal of flexibility. He's been a centerpiece on that Ravens offensive line with the exception of this past season, has done a good job protecting Joe Flacco. And I think that he would be a guy that you could bring in, for example, you put him at right tackle and you can move Pugh inside. But once again, Anthony, it's a matter of the numbers game from a financial standpoint. He is an appealing guy. He would be a good fit for the system because he's a good character guy. But I just don't know if the Giants are going to say to themselves, if Orr is demanding X amount of dollars, are we going to be willing to lay that out, and then we're not going to have enough money to address some of our other needs. So with Michael Orr, good fit, but it's all going to come down to dollars. That's the name of the game.
Okay. Good, thank you. And what's that cap number? It's going to be about $25 million, no?
I'm not exactly sure what the numbers are going to be. We'll look into that moving forward as we get closer to free agency. And Anthony, appreciate the phone call. I know that, number one, they've got to determine what the salary cap number is going to be first before you know exactly how much space the Giants are going to have to work with, because they have to do that once they have their owners' meetings and the competition committee meets. So they haven't done that yet. And once they find the full number, you got it, Anthony. Appreciate the phone call. Once they do that, then they'll be able to determine, okay, what are the Giants looking at? What are other teams looking at? I believe I read some story before I was coming onto the show today. I think Cleveland, just based on estimates, may be the one team that really is going to have a great deal of money based on what a lot of people have speculated in the rankings. And the Browns also have a great deal of draft picks, because keep in mind, when they parted ways with Trent Richardson, they got a first-round pick from the Colts and so forth. They have to find a new head coach first, obviously. That is the number one priority. But there's going to be a number of teams that are going to be at the top of the pack in terms of having flexibility. Then there's the teams that have no flexibility. I would say, based on giving you an estimate, the Giants are going to be middle of the pack. Not going to be at the bottom, but they're not necessarily going to be the one team that is going to have a great deal of spending money. So they're going to be probably right in the middle. And keep in mind, remember, last year, they cut a handful of players to give them even more flexibility. Remember, they got rid of Michael Boley, Chris Canty, and Ahmad Bradshaw. You know, that's a route and a direction they can go to if they need some flexibility. Giving Antrell Roll an extension is another way to gain more flexibility from a financial standpoint, and extending Eli Manning. So there's numerous options that Jerry Reese is going to look into before the heart and soul of free agency starts. Just remember that. That's why when you say right now, okay, how much flexibility the Giants going to have, for me to give you a clean answer is so premature, because in a week, in 3 weeks, in a month from now, the number could look so much different than what the number looks like now. So I know a lot of you like to get that pen and pencil out, and you like to say, okay, the Giants are going to have this amount of money. Hey, Michael Orr, we can fit in under the cap from this degree. We can go out and sign Eric Decker, and we can fit James Jones in, and we still got some lunch money to get good sandwiches for the Giants staff. So you got to look at it from that perspective. Way too early to determine what the Giants are going to look at. But big picture, as I've been emphasizing even during the course of the season on this show, if you want to compare the two offseasons and you want to look at what the Giants were facing last offseason compared to what the Giants are facing this offseason, much more flexibility. It's safe to say that. Because they gave out a lot of one-year deals, and some guys are coming off the books that were not coming off the books last season. No, Linval Joseph wasn't a free agent last offseason. Justin Tuck wasn't a free agent. So you have to keep that in mind. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And you can follow and interact with me even well after the show at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W, if you have any other questions. Before we close out the show, let's take a look at Twitter real quickly. Stephen D.C. has thrown out his handle, so I do want to throw it out there in case you want to follow and interact with Stephen D.C., because I know a number of you like to interact with one another, and there's no reason why here within the Giants organization we can't bring Giants fans together. That is one of our goals. We try to do that. So he's at NewBro1. N-E-W-B-R-O-1. That is Steve from D.C.'s handle. So if you want to give your thoughts to Steve from D.C., listen, if you're a passionate Hakeem Nicks fan, if you want the Giants to do everything they can to bring him back, I am sure Steve will be able to bounce some of his thoughts off of yours. So feel free to connect that way. Mike Farmer, still weighing in on the salary cap situation. He writes, I don't unrealistically expect us to get every top free agent every year, but one or two top-tier players every couple of years would be nice. Hey, and that is a realistic outlook. Hey, they brought in Antrell Rowan offseason. It's not as if the Giants have stepped back and said, you know what, we're going to bring in these unknown commodities and we're going to turn them into superstars. So the Giants do have that track record. You can't tell me that the Giants never make a big splash. I don't want to hear that because that would be ridiculous. They make the big splash when it's called for and financially it makes sense. It didn't make sense last season. Will it make sense this season? From a need standpoint, yes. From a financial standpoint, I would say yes too. But who do you want to make the big splash on? That's what you need to ask yourself. If you're within the Giants organization and if you're a passionate Giants fan, do you want to make the big splash on a guy that's already internally on the team, like a Beeson or a Tuck, so you keep those guys in-house, or a Linval Joseph I've even thrown in there, or do you want to make the big splash on a guy outside the organization who is not currently in a Giants uniform? And we could talk about that. I'll be back tomorrow with you at 9:30 again, and that would be a good question to throw out. Ponder over it over the next few hours. I know Stephen D.C., Mike Roldy, all of our usual shakes too. You're going to have plenty of thoughts. Think about that. If the Giants are going to make a big splash this offseason, and the possibility is very high, do you want them to make the splash to re-sign a guy, or would you like them to bring in new talent? It's a tough predicament. It's a very tough question. And we could use that as the launch pad for tomorrow's show. So think about that over the next few hours. Try to see if I can address one or more other tweets before we close up shop here. Elo H at Elo underscore Bajo, who we highlighted earlier. I think the Giants' change of pace back is Wilson. They need the bruiser, which I had talked about earlier in the show. But keep this in mind. Wilson, you can't guarantee that he's going to be the change of pace back. Number one, because I think the Giants want to see him have more additional carries, given where they drafted him. And number two, the health factor. You know, there's no guarantees what Wilson is going to bring to the table. Positive is, he went under the knife. It was very successful. Let's see what happens during the rehab process, and then they'll have a better idea, you know, what type of role David Wilson will have moving forward. All right, so that'll wrap things up for us this morning here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Really appreciate the feedback on Twitter and the phones. We like to make this as interactive as possible. So the more you bring to the table, the more you contribute to the substance of the show. I'll be back tomorrow. Maybe an appearance from John Schmelk. He was speculating with me over the phone earlier today. He said he may drop his anti-social views and he may be willing to share the microphone with me. It's only a tease. I don't give you any guarantees here on Giants.com. All I'm telling you, if you're dying to hear from John Schmelk, he may make an appearance on Friday. But I will definitely be here, and we'll take your phone calls, and we'll take your tweets, and we'll have just as much interaction as we had. But think about that question that I threw out. If you're the Giants this offseason, do you want to make the big splash, if you have an opportunity to do that, to re-sign a guy or bring in somebody elsewhere? We'll discuss that at great length, and if there's any other coaching changes, we'll bring you that here, right here on Giants.com, as you should stay locked to the team website for all the latest news regarding the team. So that will wrap things up for us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be back tomorrow. Lance Meadows signing off. Have a good one.